This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, hosts of the program. Remember, check out the Kelly and Company podcast. Simply subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. All you have to do is look up AMI Audio, Kelly and Company, or Kelly and Company, AMI Audio, or AMI even, and it'll bring it up using your favorite podcatcher. You can listen to the show in segment form. Your favorite segments all parceled up and available for you. You can listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience with a few extras in there, as well as the audio vanity card that we try to add to every full show. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, and hoping you'll check that out, the Kelly and Company podcast at your leisure, and when you get a chance, maybe leave us a rating and review. So, since we've been all doing the work from home thing, interesting things happen. Was that your puppy I heard?
Yes.
I thought so.
That was definitely my puppy.
Ramya can mute. I can mute. But sometimes you just don't get to the mute button quick enough. No. So, it was like he had a comment in the break when we were chatting, and you were shutting him up.
Not just shutting him up. I had to tell him to leave. You know, and we have this problem.
Was he quite comfortable with leaving? He had nothing else further to say. He wasn't bothered. You were cutting
him off.
Oh,
no, no. He continued his rampage outside.
I thought so. I thought so. I heard a distinct, like he had something to say and was silenced by the power of the mute button.
Yep.
The Imaginative Film Media Arts Festival is returning with live and in-person virtual events as well. Live in-person and virtual events as part of the 22nd annual festival. Joining us to chat a little bit about this year's festival is Naomi Johnson, the executive director. Naomi, welcome, and appreciate you coming on Kelly and Company.
Diego, hello. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations, 22 years. This is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
For those out there unaware of the festival, explain a little bit about it, please.
Yeah, sure. So Imaginative hosts every year annual Media Arts Festival, which is a celebration and a presentation of the very best in current and contemporary media works. So, you know, not only is it films, but we offer digital and interactive works. We have our Industry Day series, which is a series of gathering for professionals working in film and screen media. Our festival always has a special feel to it because it is also it feels very much community driven. It's a very people say it's, you know, like visiting cousins and family again every year. So
it's
a really incredible festival. But it's for everybody, and that's the thing we want to really get out into the world, that Indigenous-made media is for everybody, and there's something you're going to enjoy. Any genre, we got it at the festival.
That's incredible. And Naomi, how does it feel to be back in person again? Because this is not saying that we've been on pause, but it feels like it from the norm.
Yeah, it feels incredible. I think we've all been kind of... I think all of us are in varying degrees of just ready to really move on and with our world in some way back to the way it was, you know, maybe hold on to some of the things we learned in the past almost 2 years now. But it's really incredible. And I know I can't wait to, you know, see the big screen and be with people that, you know, I haven't seen for quite some time. And it feels celebratory, and it just feels like we're slowly, you know, taking those cautious baby steps back into the whole reason we do this, and that is to gather together to celebrate these works.
Wow. Naomi, I'm kind of curious because we of course, have found there's more conversation about Indigenous communities, lifestyle, things that are going on. We always like to see that people are wanting to educate ourselves or learn a little bit about other people. And I'm kind of wondering over the last 5 years through that time, and it's hard with the pandemic, has that been reflected when it comes to the festival? I don't mean so much by the artists, but by people coming and wondering what they're going to see, what they're going to experience. And is there something particular that some of us out there that's, you know, sets it out from another film festival or media demonstration of what people are making, creating, and doing that you want to point to that may make some of us out there who are, yeah, you know, I'll put that on my list. Maybe I'll get there. Maybe I won't. But some of the things you've seen over the last few years that have made that change or shown that people are getting more of an interest and curious outside of the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Like, I think within the past few years within Canada, CERN, like, there's been a real awakening and a realization of how deep and impactful, you know, some of the histories of that are being revealed and the truths that are being revealed to, you know, the average Canadian, you know, whereas in a lot of Indigenous communities, these are kind of realities that, you know, we've been living with for generations. So what's really wonderful about film and art is that you're able to articulate stories in a way that, you know, it might be a little more digestible for some, certainly for those that are seeking to have stories being told from a place of authenticity and from a place of personal meaning and intent. You know, the parameters of which our entries come into the festival are that they are Indigenous-led, they are Indigenous-artistically led. So you are getting creations from Indigenous people who are sharing, you know, yes, certainly, you know, documentaries may cover some harder-hitting topics, even anything that might be even, you know, more narrative or in the storytelling, you know, will sometimes touch upon these things too, but at the end of the day, what's important to note with our festival is that you're going to get this information delivered from an authentic place, from an Indigenous storyteller, an Indigenous creator, which is, you know, as we know for decades, has not always been the case. And it feels really good to be doing this now and to know that we really are at the beginning stages of Indigenous storytelling being brought to screen in this capacity. It's really early days, and it's really thrilling to be a part of that.
That's amazing. Well, tell us, where are the in-person screenings going to be held?
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. We have two presentations at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Our opening night film is Dennis Goulet's Night Raiders, which will be October 19th. And then we also have Cousins, which is a New Zealand film, which will be at the TIFF Bell Lightbox again on the 22nd of October. And we're doing a drive-in of the movie Beans by Tracy Deer, and that's at Ontario Place. And so these are all special ticket events. So once you have your festival pass, you can purchase those tickets. And all of that information is on our website at festival.imaginative.org. We also have a really exciting partnership with Cineplex. So we'll be screening films in Halifax, Montreal, Winnipeg, and Vancouver at select theaters in those provinces, in those cities. It's really exciting.
That's really wonderful. That's a great way to get people out there, get them involved, and you know, spreading out the word of the festival. And boy, that is really cool. Well, also a way to do that is the virtual side of things. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, all of us, you know, working in this industry and anybody working in arts and trying to figure out how to deliver arts to the people and with not being allowed in buildings was tricky. We did it really well, I think, with the time we had to prepare for that last year. And certainly what we did last year, we've really improved upon for this year. And, you know, if anything, the takeaway, the positive was that we're able to reach like a whole wider set of people that we never had access to before, and to be able to have access to just everybody, you know, not only across Canada, but across the world, really. We are an international festival, so all of our films, with just a few exceptions, are on our digital streaming platform, as well as our events. So we worked with Indigenous production company 5050 Productions to pull together performances, musical performances. So things like The Beat, which is usually a series of like musical performances, have all been beautifully edited. The artists are represented really well. It's you see it streamed right into your home. same with our awards presentation. We put a little extra production value in that, had a beautiful studio space, and we're celebrating all our festival winners in a really good way, and that'll be closing us out at the end of the festival on the Sunday 24th.
It's really game-changing for artists, for the production teams, as you're mentioning, you know, individually, but also just for access, right? It's really incredible that we're now able to offer people the opportunity to stay at home and still get all the experiences. I think that that is incredible and very new for a lot of the arts and media festivals out there, but people are starting to embrace why it's great that we're able to do this now. So aside from what you've mentioned already, anything else new this year that you want to highlight, Naomi?
I think for us, like, the new part is really the hybrid aspect of things. Like, I really encourage everyone out there to get a pass, and it does give you access to, like, all the virtual presentations. But, you know, if you're in the Toronto area, or if you're, you know, in, you know, one of those cities, Halifax, Montreal, Winnipeg, or Vancouver, certainly check out on our website where you can see those films, because, like, it's such an exciting prospect that, in a way, we're branching out virtually and digitally into new spaces, but to physically have a presence in those cities during festival, it's a really exciting concept.
Naomi, we talk about branching out and being elsewhere, and so much of this content, as you were going over, is coming from all around the world, different places, and is there another area of the country where a festival like this, part two of the festival, should be happening because of the communities that are out there, town, city, where might that be?
Yeah, well, you know, we are, there's nothing really quite on the scale of what Imaginative does for the delivery of Indigenous new media, Indigenous media into the world, really. We are pretty much the largest. So there should be more of us is probably the short answer to that question.
Yeah. Well, there's so much that I would like to think, especially when you talk about having films in Montreal and the other locations, where people stop and say, hey, I would like to not have to travel all the way there to see. You know, you think of how much, and we have heard of the festival. People who have had the privilege of experiencing, I'm sure, will tell you and say the same thing. You know, boy, yeah, this should be everywhere, just like you said. And you just think in Canada, where else? Where would be another good location, Vancouver, or where? Because you want to get the word out. You want these films and all this media content to be shared, and people's creativity. Plus, of course, it helps getting people's creativity out there, people more aware, more of the stuff can be produced.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, this is like a very first effort on our part to do programming like this during the festival. So, you know, I'm very optimistic that it's going to be a huge success, and it could be the seeds of something bigger down the line for us.
Awesome. Where can we go to get more information and people start getting tickets and so on reserved?
Yeah, go to festival.imaginative.org, and imaginative is imagine native. So two words. Sometimes people write imaginative, so just make sure you got that down.
That is amazing. Well, for the 22nd edition, we've got to say good luck to you guys. And is there anything else in closing you just want to tell people? Check this out. If you do one thing, what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just make sure you're like going to the website, checking out what's there. I guarantee there will be something that will excite you. And however you're comfortable, if you're comfortable going out into the world again, there's some options for you. But of course, there's the digital offering. So we're trying to keep in mind how, you know, individually everyone's feeling right now. So I'll hope to see you at the festival in whatever capacity you can attend.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for making time for us, Naomi. Take care. Good luck.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
That was Naomi Johnson, the executive director, talking about the 22nd Imaginative Film Media Arts Festival. Please do take it in, enjoy it in whatever form you can. It's a lot of interesting things to learn about, to know about, and certainly experience. We'll take a break, Ramya and I, here on Kelly and Company. And we have, as we often do when we have a stat holiday, we move one of our committee reporters over to this Thursday. So Kim Kilpatrick will be here, and she's going to highlight the Ottawa Storytellers Signature Series 2021 next on Kelly and Company. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.